Blog Talk Radio.
Be still, and God will fight your battles. Be still. You know God will fight your battles. Be still. You know God will fight your battles. The Lord will fight your battles if you just be still. Well, if you're running, well, keep on running. I said you're running. But keep on running. You know God will fight your battles. God will fight your battles if you just be still. Well, be still. You know God will fight your battles. Be still. You know God will fight your battles. Be still. I said God will fight your battles. God will fight your battles if you just be still. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. We welcome you. Glad to see you and hear from you. You look great on this evening. We've come with a preach word on this evening. We're going to come to you from the fourth chapter of St. Luke, the fourth chapter. We're glad to hear from you. I am Bernard Reed, and our contact information is telephone 804-313-7853. Feel free to call or text us. We did get some texts this week. If you call or please and don't get an answer, please leave a message, a short message identifying yourself with the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. Of course, you can email us. We welcome email at goteachandbaptize, goteachandbaptize at gmail.com, goteachandbaptize at gmail.com. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. We're glad to come to you on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. every Sunday with a preached word. And then on Mondays, we come back at 7 p.m., Mondays through Friday at 7 p.m. Mondays, we do some missionary and some testimonies. Then on Tuesdays, we have preaching. We have preaching for the whole period on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, there's Bible study and an aggressive Bible study, if you will. And then on Thursdays, we do a Sunday school, international Sunday school lesson. And right now, we're doing a series through, UMI is the name of the book, Urban Ministries. And it's based, The Living Faith is the name of this quarter. And we are Fridays. We do a little of everything. But this is the season of Halloween. And so starting on this Friday, we start to talk about idolatry, witchcraft, and some of the things associated with Halloween. Halloween, as some people call it, a holiday. Others stay away from it as far as they can get from it. And then others say, oh, it's harmless if you dress your kids up like Superman and so forth. We're going to delve into that and see what the roots of Halloween are, and that if you were God, and you as God's representative, how would you approach Halloween? And so we're going to take a look at those things all the way up until Halloween, and then we're going to move into the holiday season. We're talking about on Fridays idolatry in the local church. But tonight we go to Luke, the fourth chapter, verses 18 through 19. Luke 4, 18 through 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I want to use for subject on this evening the call of Christ, the call of Christ. Oftentimes we hear preachers, ministers, talk about being called to preach. In fact, scripturally, we believe that nobody should be preaching the word of God from a pulpit arena unless they've been called by God to preach. We have these licensing technique and so forth where we determine that a person has indeed been called, and then when they are ordained for a particular office, we put them before council to make, first of all, sure that they've been saved, set free, and born again by Jesus Christ. And then second, to find out that they literally know a calling from the Lord. Now, as born-again Christians, as soul-saved, sanctified followers of Jesus Christ, we all have a calling as we mature. Now, when we're first baptized, maybe there's no, the only calling is to salvation. But as we grow up in the gospel, as we mature in the gospel, Jesus has a job for every one of us. Jesus has a job for every one of us, and every one of us doesn't have the same job. Some of us may have a job for this period of time, our calling, and then we may get another and a secondary calling later on, and we accede to that calling. But all of us that are in Christ Jesus do, in fact, have a calling to do something in the kingdom. We are useful. Everyone is useful in the kingdom. But here, our example here is Jesus. Jesus was baptized, as we recall, by John in the Jordan. When Jesus came up out of the water, the Bible tells us that a dove descended on him, and the Holy Ghost in the form of a dove descended on him. And as the dove descended on him, his Father, God the Father, spoke and said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And people around heard it. Jesus immediately came out of the water, now filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized, set free. Jesus came out of the water and went out into the wilderness. He went in the wilderness and fasted for 40 days. The 40 days of fasting, he was hungry. After 40 days of fasting, Jesus, just like you or I, was hungry. And as Jesus was hungry, that's when the devil showed up. You know, when you show any weakness, when you get any weakness in body or spirit, the devil will show up. So the devil showed up in the weakness of Jesus. And the devil said to him, he took some stones. We know the three temptations. The devil took some stones and said, "I know you're hungry. Stones into bread, since you're the Son of God." And Jesus responded to the devil. Filled with the Spirit, he responded, "It is written, the man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He was quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. He's talking about man shall not live by bread alone. Then he quotes Old Testament scripture, "but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The devil was not satisfied with that rejection. He took Jesus to a mountaintop, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and said, "This is all mine. I'm the prince of this world. All that you see, as far as you can see, belongs to me. But if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all of that." I need to pause right here for somebody, because some of us don't realize that covetousness is the process of having that conversation with Jesus. Jesus shows you other people's stuff that God has given to other people or allowed other people to attain. God allowed that to happen. The devil will show up other people's stuff and say, "If you will bow down to me, if you will worship me, if you will act more like my influence wants you to act, I give you all of that." First of all, it's the biggest lie ever told. But first of all, it's not his to give. Second of all, it's the biggest lie ever told. And third is a whole lot of people go for it. It's called covetousness, greed. But anyhow, he presents that picture to Jesus, and he says, "All this is yours if you will just bow down to me." Jesus said to him, full of the Spirit, yet hungry in the flesh, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shall thou worship." There he was quoting Deuteronomy 6:13. The devil would not give up. He brought Jesus to Jerusalem, sat him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, "If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, since all the angels are there, cast yourself down and see won't the angels come to your beck and call and protect you." Once again, Jesus goes to the word of God and says, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." After being defeated this third time, the devil disappeared. He went away. Jesus had rebuked him, defeated him with the word of God. So we remember that story. Well, after that, Jesus now filled with the Spirit. He's been baptized, symbolically baptized, because he had no sin to wash away. But Jesus was baptized. We saw the Holy Trinity there in one place, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all in one place in the water. Jesus comes out of the water and steadfastly heads out into the wilderness, and there he was fasted for 40 days, he alone with his Father. After 40 days, the devil is allowed to come around, because you see, if you're fasting and you develop a tight knit with the Father, you can lock the devil out. Let the church say amen. Well, now he's defeated the devil. He comes back into among civilization, and he goes to Capernaum. He spends some time at Capernaum teaching in the synagogue, and he's been worshiping with the people and healing pretty much everyone that had an issue that he came into contact with. He's full of the Spirit. He was healing. And then he goes back to his hometown, Nazareth, goes back to the town where he was reared and raised up. And he goes in his synagogue there. When he gets in the synagogue, they realize that he is indeed Jesus, but not Jesus the carpenter's son anymore. He's Jesus, the man of God. And they recognize that he was special. They recognize that he was worthy of the book. They call him up, ask him to read from the book. Jesus goes and reads scripture. This is a great example for us. I see some things in the pulpit sometime. I know I'm stepping to the side, but it's hard to get past this one where folk will get up there and read the word of God and don't know what to say next. You don't need to say anything next. The Bible says that Jesus read from the book, closed the book, and sat down. You don't have to say, this is for the hearers and the doer be ye doers of the word. You definitely don't need to say something as trite as God's word is already blessed, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in a pulpit. But all we got to do what Jesus did. Read from the book, close the book, sit down. Anyhow, that's what he did. But he read from Isaiah 61, and that was the scripture that we read. It said, the Spirit has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is from Isaiah 61. This was Jesus' call to the ministry. This is the call of Christ. It is good to know your calling. Jesus knew his calling. These are the parameters that Jesus set for his whole ministry. His ministry was not a disorganized, willy-nilly ministry. It was a ministry based on the word of God where he relied upon, looked back, and called on all three times when he rejected and rebuked the devil. He quoted scripture from the Old Testament. In that case, it was Deuteronomy. Here, he's quoting Isaiah 61. It's good for us to know the word of God. Why do we need the Old Testament if we're under a new covenant now? We need the Old Testament because that's the word of God. That's the word of God. And so Jesus is quoting the word of God here and knows his calling. That's where we're going tonight, the call of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Number one is to preach the gospel, the good news, to the poor. He says, the Spirit of God has sent me to preach the gospel, the good news, to the poor. Who are the poor? He's talking about the poor in spirit, the poor in wealth, and the poor in health. Now, the poor in spirit are those that we would today, sometimes, some of the poor in spirit, we would call them mentally ill. And in the United States of America, we have a mental illness problem, we say, what are we going to do with this mental illness problem? We have all these people that are outside of the norm, and we don't know how to handle it. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the mentally ill. I wish I had a witness. I wish somebody would say amen. Second thing is the poor in wealth. The story is told that Jesus was in a house, a lady broke an alabaster box, poured the ointment, expensive ointment, over his head, and somebody said, hey, why are you wasting that high-dollar perfume? And Jesus said, leave her alone. She's doing this against my burial. And the guy said, well, we could have taken that and given it to the poor, or sold it and given it to the poor. Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always. Jesus is always concerned about the poor. We ought to always be mindful of the poor. The second thing is, third thing is the poor in health, bad health, failing health. We will always have with us people who are failing in health. I don't care what day it is, what celebration it is. It's always somebody sick and feeble. Always somebody spending their last days. If we listen careful enough, somebody's always lost a loved one in our community. It's an ongoing, and the funeral parlors are always open. Hospitals are always open. Emergency rooms are always open, that there are folk that are sick, feeble, and troubling, not just in the pandemic, but all day long, every day long, somebody needs ministry of the sick. So he's saying, the first thing Jesus said he called me to do is preach the gospel to the poor. They need to know the good news and find themselves in that news. Second thing is that he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, the downtrodden, to heal those that are despairing, desperate, don't know where to go, don't know which way to turn. In the Old Testament, they talk about the orphans who, without somebody stepping in, have no wherewithal. So he's saying, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've come to raise the bow down head. Let the church say, amen. Then he says, the next group, I came to preach deliverance to the captive. There were some folk that were locked up in prison, probably not that many at that time. But there are some folks locked up in, I heard somebody saying a prayer, in the prisons of their own heart. There are some people that are captivated by something. They're captive to the culture. They're captive to greed and covetousness. They're captive to the wickedness of capitalism. They're captive to the cell phone culture. They're captive to watching 7 hours of television a day. They're captive to gossip and all kinds of other stuff. Folk are captive to it in this society. They're captive and addicted to drugs, captive and addicted to alcohol, captive and addicted to sex, captive and addicted to pornography, captive and addicted to gambling, and on and on and on. But Jesus said, I came to heal all of that stuff. And then when you say, well, I got a habit of smoking, I can't break it. But Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. And I came to heal those that are captivated, captive to something. Then he said, I came for recovering of sight to the blind. Once again, there are two kinds of blind folk that Jesus dealt with. I came to, now, in the time of Jesus, it was unheard of to open blind eyes. Once blind, always blind. In history, there was no record of anybody opening blind eyes. And, you know, just like anything else, there were some accounts out there, and some folks said he was blind, some said he wasn't, and now suddenly he could see a little bit. But by and large, the physicians of the time, including Luke, who was a physician, did not believe that once you went blind, your eyes would ever open again. There was case after case after case of people being pronounced dead and then getting up and walking away, being dead for two days or so, yet coming back to life. That was not all that unheard of. But opening of blind eyes was not to be known. He came and he physically opened blind eyes several times in the New Testament. But he also, in John 9, he teaches us that there's a greater blindness. There's a blindness called spiritual blindness. The Pharisees were spiritually blind. They were full of word and spiritually blind. They led the movement to kill Jesus because of their very own spiritual blindness, in spite of the fact he told them they were spiritually blind. And then he says, I came to set at liberty them that are bruised. Oh, I love this one right here. I love this one right here. I got to check my clock. I love this one right here, to set at liberty them that are bruised. In the year that I turned 50, leading up to my 50th birthday, I went and got my 50,000-mile tune-up on myself, if you will. I got my 50-year tune-up, went to the eye doctor and got new glasses. Of course, I went to the dentist, got the teeth all cleaned up, and it was within 30 days of my birthday. I got everything, and I got a good report on everything. About 3 weeks after my birthday, I went by the church early one Monday morning and came out. It was a little bit of ice on the step, and I didn't realize it, and my feet went from under me, and my feet went way up in the air, my back landed on the steps, tore me up. I went on to the job. When I got to the job, couldn't work. I was feeling terrible. I think I broke my back. And so I dragged myself into the car, went to the emergency room. When I got to the emergency room, they said, what's your problem? I said, I believe I broke my back. I think I broke something in my back. I feel real bad. And they took me in the back, and they looked at me, and they x-rayed me, and they came back, and they said, you have fracture. You have minor fractures and bruises to your ribs. How did you know that you had ribs in your back? And I was confused. I didn't know you had ribs in your back, but they said, yeah, your ribs are bruised. And so the doctor gave me some medicine. And she said, I'll give you this prescription. Don't take it unless you need it. And she said, you'll probably need it for the rest of this week, and then the pain will go away. Well, when I looked at my back and I looked in the mirror, my back and also the ribs on the front a little bit were black and blue, and I was all bruised up. But at the end of that week, the bruises had gone away, and the pain was gone. I was not taking any medicine, but I remember what the doctor said. I'm writing this up for 6 months, because up to 5 or 6 months, and I said to the doctor, I remember Sammy Winder of the Denver Broncos getting bruised ribs, and the following Sunday, he was on the field playing running back. And she said, yeah, Sammy Winder was probably 20-some years old. You're 50. It's not the same. And so what I found out was about 5 months to the day, I woke up one morning, I could barely get out of bed. My back was hurting me so bad. I was sore. Everything was hurting. It was just as pretty. My back was as pretty flesh as you want to see. The bruises were all gone, but the bruises were on the inside. What I found out is some folk have been bruised. They've been bruised emotionally when they were small children or in their first marriage or in a relationship. Some folk were bruised where on the outside it looked like it went away. And now they got a smile on their face, but down on the inside, deep down on the inside, many months and many years later, these bruises will come back to the surface and affect the way they behave. In fact, some of this stuff is suppressed so long that whereas it happened over here, they act out over here. And we're wondering why this person is act like they do sometimes, and some of them end up bipolar or depressed. And we wonder why, what's wrong with it? Why did that happen? Because they got bruised a long time ago. And the bruise lasted on the inside but went away on the outside. But Jesus said, I came to set at liberty them that are bruised, those that are oppressed and those that are depressed. I came to wash that all away by preaching the gospel to them, by healing the brokenhearted, by setting at liberty them that are bruised, opening the eyes of the blind and setting the captives free, and finally, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So Jesus said, that's my call. That's who I came for. That is the call of Christ. This is the people to whom Jesus was sent. This is the call of Jesus to the ministry. Listen closely to the list. Preach the gospel to the poor, those that are poor in health, wealth, and spirit, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the prisoners free, those that are captivated or enslaved by something or somebody, to preach recovery of sight, to deliver recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed, the depressed, and the bruised free from the stronghold of their bruises, and to proclaim the spiritual year of Jubilee, the spiritual year of Jubilee where everybody can be set free. In fact, everybody is set free. Whether or not we or they go back into slavery, that's on us, but everybody has been set free. Now, my question to you is, which one are you? I've given the list of just about everybody, but which one are you on that list that I've given? And then, did Jesus set you free? John 8:32 says, ye shall know the truth, that's Jesus, and the truth, that's Jesus, will make you free. Did Jesus set you free? Free from what? Did Jesus set you free from selfishness, from prison, from idolatry, from somebody or something, from an addiction that owned you? Has Jesus set you free? Did Jesus set you free from lust, from alcohol, from gambling, from drugs, from greed? Has Jesus set you free? Who are you on the list of Jesus calling? Because there's some more folk on the list. After Jesus read from the book, he closed the book. He sat down. He came outside. Some folk marveled and said, wow, is that Joseph the carpenter's son? Is that boy named Jesus up there? Oh, my goodness, he's now Rabbi Jesus? Where did he come from? How did he get educated? Others said, he can't be. That ain't, it's nothing. And then others said, they murmured about him, murmured. And Jesus read their minds. And Jesus said, you're saying now, as the proverb says, physician, heal yourself. You're poor. Your mama's poor. Your brothers and sisters, they are poor. If you're going to heal the poor, why don't you start with your own house? Why are y'all still poor? How come you don't have rings on your fingers and necklaces around your neck? And then they're murmuring, and they're saying, if you're going to do so much, why don't you start at Nazareth, the poorest city in the region? And why don't you do in Nazareth what you did allegedly did in Capernaum? Why don't you heal all the sick people in Nazareth first? And because of this murmuring and the attitudes of the people at home, we know how the story goes. Jesus said, a prophet is without honor in his own hometown. I can go to Capernaum and do great miracles and work great things and see souls get saved. But right at home, it's hard to do the work of my father because the spite that you have for your own. And so that name goes on the list, those that mocked Jesus. And then there's another group. Jesus said in the next chapter, verse 5:31, Jesus says, I didn't come to bring righteous but sinners to repentance. I came to bring sinners, not the righteous, to repentance. Saying is, on the list of people that I came for, to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, on that list, the righteous are not on there. If you're already righteous and you're self-righteous and you know you all that, I didn't come for you. You got all that evidently. I came for the folk on this list. So I got to move now. I got to move. So Jesus was called to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, physical or spiritual, to set at liberty them that are bruised, oppressed, or depressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then some people mocked him and scoffed at him, and some declared that they were already righteous. Which one are you on the list that I just gave? We need to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, which one am I? Am I poor in one way or another? Do I need the gospel preached to me? And then what I'm going to ask after that is, once you realize that and have accepted the call of Christ in your life, then we ought to turn that thing around, and we ought to occupy until he comes as the church of the living God to do what Jesus did, until Jesus comes back again, and then it becomes our ministry to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That is now the call of the church of Jesus Christ. Our call is to do those things, to lead sinners, not the sanctified, self-righteous folk to Jesus, but sinners to Jesus. How good are we doing with that as a church? Because as a church, God has given us the authority, released in us the authority to bind and loose. Whatsoever the church binds on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever the church looses on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We are the church set upon and built upon a rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church needs to occupy until Jesus comes again. How are we doing with the call of Christ? Then we find that in this day and time, my last minute of preaching here, this day and time, we find that there are folk in our community, folk in our society. We see them all the time. They've been plagued by one thing or another, by personal, psychological, and societal issues. But we are the church fulfilling the call of Christ. It's our job to bring the gospel to them. And I guarantee that those folk are going through something and don't know Jesus today have one of these qualifications or one of these gifts. But for the last time, we're going to give the call of Christ. That is our charge on this evening, to do this. And while the legislature can't figure out what to do, while the police can't figure out what to do, while social services can't figure out what to do, we have the keys to the kingdom. Why? Because Jesus said, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. I've given you the call of Christ to preach the gospel to the poor in spirit, the poor in health, the poor in wealth, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to preach recovery of sight to the spiritual and physically blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised and depressed and oppressed, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Be the church. Be the church. Occupy until he comes. This is the call of Christ. This is the charge to the church. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. Go teach and baptize. May the Lord bless and keep you, and everything will be all right. Stay tuned for the Fivefold Ministry. This has been the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast.
God bless you, and welcome to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. We ask that you sit back, relax, and let us go into the inner court so that we can praise our God. Truly, we love the Lord, and we worship him in spirit and truth. And let us worship him. Amen.
I thank you. Hello. You know I don't go nowhere unless I do the war. We need 1 minute to just kind of change the atmosphere. Yeah. You got me there? You're not sitting next to somebody who's defeated. Your feet ready.
Songwriter says, what do you have? Good God Almighty, what do you have when you praise the God? Are you praising God in spirit and truth? Are you praising God? Because God will make a way for you. Come on now, what do you have? And how will you show the Lord that you love him so you can enjoy worshiping our God? God bless you again. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. We love the Lord. We like to sit back a base and just have a good time worshiping God. You know why? Because God will make a way. Let's listen to Charles Ford and the Charles Ford Singers. Amen.
When you're down, so you're
Make a way. If we just trust God, we believe God, we turn it over to God, we don't have to worry. You know why? Because God got it. If God doesn't do it, it just can't be done. You know, everything centered around the power, the mercy, and the love of God. He has all power, all wisdom, and he is the only one that can straighten out any problems. Truly, we love the Lord. God bless you again. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. If you would like to write us, our email is F like five, F like fold, M like ministries, W like worldwide, .inc, I-N-C, at Verizon.net. Again, that's FFMW.inc at Verizon.net. Truly, we love the Lord. And also, if you'd like to write us, our P.O. Box is 9786. That's Baltimore, Maryland, 21284. Again, that's P.O. Box 9786, Baltimore, Maryland, 21284. We would like to just play a little bit more of our musical selection. Through the week, we just like to just abase ourselves, relax ourselves, just enjoy the worship of God. And we ask that you tune in on Sundays from 9 o'clock to 10. You can hear us reverence the Lord even more as we go into the inner courts and go behind the veil so that we can worship our Father. God bless you again. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast, and we invite you and encourage you to stay on course, to stay encouraged, because your God is an awesome God. Amen.
God is awesome. The world is full of iconic figures. The people praise him. They stock us up at a high percentage. The giants in our eyes. The sky's the limit. The picture painted is larger than life, but God is bigger. Your God is greater. I weigh them on the scale like rocks and gators. Found that only God can save us. Your God is crazy. That's who we fly to. In the day of trouble, it will be blow it like hot food. It's all the official. Nobody's greater than Shawn Mitchell. You got it right with that song. It echoes the heart of scripture. Yeah, they wonder why we so serious. Also, man, period.
Okay, my Jesus, the Son, Christ, the King of Kings, and He's God on earth. My Messiah, born and raised to give us all a second birth. And from heaven, He came down, free all that were bound. Oh, God, the four and 20 fell down, casting down their crown. They fell unworthy, Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. So every man, woman, boy, and girl, they're like this.
Yes, our God is mighty. We just heard from Canton Jones, and awesome. Truly, we love the Lord, and we just want to continue to worship Him, to praise Him, to glorify Him, because He woke us up this morning in our right mind. We love Him so. Do you love the Lord? Let us worship Him together. You know why? Because if nothing else, we know that our God is awesome, that our God can do anything but fail, and He is a waymaker. Amen.
That is
Truly, our God is a way maker. He's a promise keeper. He's right there for us in the time of need, in the time of trouble, because our God is so mighty, so wonderful, so beautiful. If we had 1,000 tongues, you know, we couldn't praise God enough, because he is truly that kind of God. We've just heard Waymaker by Cena, and now we want to listen to Nathaniel Basely and Chandler Moore, that you are mighty, that our God is mighty, and we love him so. Amen. You know, I love that song so much, especially when he said, Papa. You know, when you can personalize your worship, when you can personalize your prayer, when you can just get into the inner courts and abase yourself and to worship God on a personal spiritual level where you can call him Daddy, Papa, Father, Elohim, Alpha and Omega, the great I am that I am, truly, truly, when that becomes that personal relationship, that it is such an inner peace of joy that your Father is so near. You know you are his beloved. He loves you so much. You know, he had inspired me to be on the radio. I've been on this radio show right now for 2.5 years, and I find it joy just to have the opportunity that, you know, that God gave me to open up this door just to tell you that you're special. Regardless what you're going through, regardless if it seemed to be heavy, sometimes you can get overwhelmed. But you got to take your problems to the foot of the cross. You just got to go ahead and trust God. You know, so God, I need a miracle. I do that all the time. I said, God, I need a favor. It's me. I need a miracle. I need a breakthrough. He knows what I need before I even open my mouth because, you know, God knows your name. So I ask God on a personal basis to be there for me because I can't do it without God. You know, I need that intervention of his Holy Spirit. I just need him to be there for me in the good times and in the bad. I just need him to just, you know, sup with me, engulf me, saturate me, cover me. Woo, glory, hallelujah, that I need everything about God. And that this is how you have to reach out to him, to just let him know that, God, I need you to carry this for me. I need you, Father, just to take me to the inner courts of your peace. You know, because so many times that we have gone through storms, and we have been taught by our mothers, our grandparents, our dads, the pastor, those leaders, that God can do anything but fail if we just exercise our faith. And I want to encourage you today that as you go through that this week, as you go through each and every day, wake up in the land of the living and be grateful. Say, God, I woke up. I thank you for being clothed in my mind. Today I leave it at the foot of the cross. I'm going to turn it over to you. Hey, say, God, if you don't do it, it can't be done. It's simple as that. So God bless you again. I'm just trying to exalt, edify, and encourage you that God got so much love for you that he can carry you when you can't carry yourself. Matter of fact, I feel like hearing the sweet song that I've heard in Jamaica. You know I play it a lot of times, but it's such a pretty melody by Kevin Downswell. Carry me. I also remember when I went to Jamaica that I praise dance. I haven't danced in a long time. I started dancing at Morgan State University in Baltimore, Maryland, and from there I taught my daughters and other young women. But through the years, I just turned it over to the young people. But when I went to Jamaica, I felt so good that they were all on one accord, that we was able to worship him in spirit and truth. I danced a little bit, and I turned it over to the psalmist there, and he truly, truly carried that baton. And this is the song that he introduced me to. We are going to have a guest that will be with us coming in on the end of this month. The pastor and his wife that I met in Jamaica are coming to this United States, and truly this man is so gifted. I remember when I went to his church, I was walking through the door. He had a pair of jeans, a T-shirt. His wife was up on a pulpit, and he was just drinking a bottle of water. And people were coming in, in the door. And a lady that she came in, she could barely walk. She had a man and woman on the both sides of her bringing her in because she was crippled. She could barely make it. And they was looking for a chair or a wheelchair to sit down. And the pastor himself, the apostle himself, he was drinking his water, and he saw her come through the door. He said, bring up here. Just bring on up here. And he said some things to her. He blessed the water. He threw that water on that lady. Next thing I know, the lady had to be in her 80s. She just let go of everybody and started running around the church. Good God Almighty. I'm telling you, this man is awesome that the Lord told me to cover him in prayer. And as God is using him, he's using all of us. If we could believe on a faith level like that, that miracles, signs, and wonders will follow those that believe. So he will be with us on that last week of October. He's coming in from Jamaica to this United States, so he will be on the radio. He believes that God can do anything but fail, and he will preach and teach on the TV as well as the radio. So you're in for a blessing. But let us listen to this particular song, as I said, that it was such a beautiful melody that the young man danced to, and it inspired me to try to get back out there on my tippy toes. So God bless you. I hope you had a beautiful day in the Lord. I just want to encourage you in your faith. And do listen to us each night from 7:30 p.m. to 8 o'clock, you know, because I go into a lot of variety of music. I try to worship God with music, and of course the music belongs to the artist, that's their rights, but I try to promote those sounds and those CDs to encourage you in your library of worship. And God bless you again, and hopefully you will tune in tomorrow so that we can go into another segment of the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. Be blessed, and let us listen to Carry Me. Amen.
When I come to the end of myself.